Morning, everyone.
Morning.
It's so good to be with you and so good to be able to share the word. My name's Andy. I'm one of the leaders here at Trinity.
Woo!
Come on. I like that. Celebrate me. And I get to do the first week. So last week we had the introduction of our series in the Transform series that we're doing. And this week we're doing the actual first week. So it's how to get close to God. The reason that we're doing the Transform series is because we believe that God wants to work in our midst. He wants to transform us more and more into his likeness. There's this verse, and it's not the one on there, but it's 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. And it says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of God, of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." Now, we're a church that absolutely believes that God does things in a moment, that he can transform situations supernaturally and powerfully in a moment. We're a church that believe that the scripture would say that he is here today to transform your life and can change things in a moment. But we're also a church that believes that God calls us into a relationship with him and changes us from one degree of glory to another, from one step to another in all different areas of our lives. We believe that God partners with us. As we give ourselves to him, he transforms our thinking, our actions, the way that we act, the way that we be, and who we are. We're a church that believes that God is in our midst. At the end of there, it says, "For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." The transforming power is from external. It's from God. It comes down. It's not from internal. It's not from me. We believe that God will do this. So head, heart, hand. What that means, as he changes our thinking, he'll change our feelings. So as our thinking is transformed, our feelings will be transformed, which will change the way that we act. We believe that as our head is changed, our heart is changed, and our actions are changed.
Amen.
Come on. We're doing this not just on Sundays, so there is groups in the week. There's still opportunity to join a group if you're not part of a group. They're all online until the end of this week. The first week is today. Today? This week? Starting today. So get online, join a group, trinitylondon.org, connect, and then join a group. And there's lots of groups there. There's also these books that we've all got. Now, today is day one in these books. So if you've not started yet, they go through each day by day. They do a little Bible study, which you can do in your personal time as well. And they just teach you a little bit about taking steps out in all the different areas of life. Today, start today. If you don't have one, there is more on the bookstall. You can have one for free. They are free. If you can afford it, you can give a donation. If you can't, just take one. So just go up to the stall afterwards, and Noetta will give you one. I get the privilege of preaching on the prodigal son today. It's one of the most well-known stories that Jesus ever told. And it's known in the church and outside of the church. I love it. It's a powerful story of how God relates to us and how we relate to God. In Luke 15, which is where it is, the first verses say, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" I just want to start by saying, whether you're really religious, whether you're really self-righteous, or whether you're righteous in the way that God has made you righteous, or whether you're really far from God, whether you don't know him, whether this is the first time you've come to church in a long time, whether you're a long way, whether you would consider yourself a sinner, whether you'd consider yourself far from God, you're so welcome in our midst. You're so welcome to be here. We love having all kinds of different people with us. Jesus was surrounded by all kinds of different people. He was surrounded constantly by different people. And this is who this story was aimed at. Not just the religious, but those all around gathering into Jesus. And Jesus told this story so that we could know and they could know how they can get close to God. It's a revelation of how they can take steps, but also the amazing God and how good he is and how he comes towards us. So how do we get close to God? Let's read this. And I'm reading it in the New Living Translation because stories are a little bit easier to understand in it. Okay, so the parable of the lost son, which is Luke 15, 11 to 24. To illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, "I want my share of your estate now, before you die." So his father agreed. He agreed to divide his wealth between his two sons. A few days later, this younger son packed up all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money in wild living, in parties, in women, in drinking, in wild living, is what it says. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept across the land, and the boy began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into the field to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. He finally came to his senses and he said this to himself, "At home, in my father's house, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. And here I am dying and starving of hunger. I'll go home to my father and I'll say to my father, 'I have sinned against both heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Please make me as a hired servant.'" So he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him and kissed him. His son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against both heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But his father said to the servants, "Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger, sandals for his feet, and kill the calf that we have been fattening up. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, and now he is found. So let the party start." Come on. Lord Jesus, I pray that as we read these words and as we study the words of you, I pray that they would go deep into our hearts. I pray that they would transform our thinking, transform our feelings, Lord Jesus. Help us to know the depth of the truth of who you are and who you're calling us to be, Lord. In your precious name, Jesus. Amen. So I believe there's four steps that we can take or that can be taken in order for us to get close with God. Now you might be sitting there thinking, "I'm quite close to God," but I want you to consider all the different areas of your lives. So this is a foundation and foundational truth for all the different areas. So financial, am I close to God in my finances? In spiritual, am I close to God spiritually? In the physical, am I close to God physically? Am I worshiping him with the physical? In the emotional, am I worshiping God in my emotional life? And we can have different thinking in all these different areas. So you might be close to God in one area, but need actually transformation to come powerfully in another area. So just as I speak, let these different steps be reflected in those different areas. The first step is to be fed up. It's the truth. Not fed up as in, but the opposite of fed up. The son approaches the father and he says, "Give me what I deserve. Give me my inheritance now. Give it to me. Come on. Give me, give me, give me." He's very self-centered at this point. He's all about himself. He's not thinking about the impact of his father, his old father. He's not thinking about the impact on other people. He's thinking about himself. He He's self-centered. And he says, give me your inheritance, give me my inheritance, give me what I deserve now, my share of this land. It's not only an insult to the father, it would have brought shame on the father. For all his neighbours all around him, there would have been shame brought onto the family because of the action. He's basically saying to the father, I wish you were dead.
Yeah.
I wish you were dead. Give me what I deserve now so I can go. And then to make it even worse, he goes to a distant land. He makes a purposeful decision to walk away and never be anywhere near the father. He makes this purposeful decision not just to hurt the father in his finances, but hurt the father by walking away and just being completely distant from him. He chooses to be distant from the father. He's completely self-centered. And he goes off and he lives this party life. And the party life is really exciting for a season. He makes loads of friends, he dances, he drinks, he parties, he has fun. But soon he realizes that when you're not plugged into the source, the resource runs out. When you're not plugged into the father, who is the provider, the resource runs dry. And that's what happens. And it says here that a severe famine crossed the land. Now this is a bit of a difficult point, but actually God is in control of all things. Why do you think he included this? There's a bit in Hosea 2, and it's verse 6, and it talks about how God is going to hedge up the ways of the person who's gone distant from him. He's going to make it impossible for this way and that way. He's going to make things difficult. And then it says in verse 7, I'm doing this so that you realize that actually that you need me, and I love you, and I want you in my presence. So storms might come in your life in areas where you are being distant from God, where you're choosing to be distant from God. You might get storms in your life. God is using those storms in your life to draw you back to him because he loves you, because he wants you in that relationship with him. The money ran out and he began to starve. Is there any areas of your life where you're starving and you're just fed up? So fed up that you'd eat pig food. Disgusting. I can recognize it in my life. I can recognize areas where, you know, I make decisions and I think, oh, this is a good decision. But then I realize I've not even considered God in that decision. I've not even decided to ask God. I just think, oh, this is a good decision. I'm going to do it. And soon you get fed up in that area. You have a good season for a season, but then you just get fed up. And it's because I've not even considered my father. I've not even considered his opinion. Are we considering his opinion in things? You might be fed up. It's great that you're here. Well done. The next one is that you own up. It says here that the son came to his senses. And when he came to his senses, He wanted to approach the father again. He wanted to go back to the father because he realized, actually, even if I'm a slave or a servant in that setting, I'm going to have more than what I am far from the father. Even if I'm a slave or a servant in that setting, they are eating well. They are provided for. So I'm going to go and I'm going to confess my sin. I am going to say that I have sinned. I have done wrong. I have done wrong in these areas, and I want to come back. Now, I know I don't deserve to come back, but I want to come back. Let me come back, just as a servant. That's all I want to be. But it's that moment where he recognizes that he has sinned. And now, sometimes that will be very purposeful sin that we do. In this story, the purposeful sin of drinking, partying, getting drunk and going away from the father, distancing himself, he's made very purposeful decisions. Sometimes it won't be as obviously purposeful. Sometimes you'll have made decisions like I was talking about before where you've just not considered God, where you've actually seen an idol The first two commandments in Exodus 20, they are that you worship God, you have no other God other than God, and that you have no idol made out of man, made in man's image or anything from the earth. So when you're making decisions which are not considering God and his perspective first, actually you're creating an idol out of something else around you, because you're going after that thing rather than going after God. And so you have to own up, and you have to say, actually, this is something that we don't often teach in the world, actually, that I make mistakes and I do wrong and it is sin. There's a moment where we confess and we own it. And you own your actions. It's a really important step. You own up and you own it. Especially in a church where we talk about grace so much, there is still a moment where you own it. The third step, and this is the best one, let's be honest, you offer up. You remember at the beginning I was saying that actually the way that the son went to the father, he was saying, give me, give me, give me. By the end of the story, he's going back and he's saying, make me. You see the change in attitude there. He comes to the father in a humble way, and he says, make me. Make me this, make me that. I'm yours, God. I'm yours, Father. I'm back. Make me whatever you want. You come with humility and a reverence for who the Father is. And in that moment, the Father runs towards him, and he embraces him as a son. He welcomes him back with arms wide open. He runs towards him. He embraces him. He says, give him the best robe in the house. Put the best robe upon him. Put the ring of the, it doesn't say it in the NLT, but the family ring on his finger. That's a moment of trust that the father's giving him in that moment. He puts the family ring. He says, you're my son in that moment. That ring would have counted like a debit card in our culture. You would use it. It's got the signet and you could stamp things and pay for things with it. He's saying, I trust you, my son. I give you my finances back. I know you've robbed me. I'm back. Put sandals on his feet, something servants don't have or wouldn't have in that culture. But this is the biggest and most foundational truth of all Christianity. Yes, the gospel. Yes, justification. You are justified. You are made legally right with God through the cross of Christ. But the fact that you are sons and not slaves. Let that sink in for a minute. You are a son. He is a father in heaven who loves you and wants you in his presence. He wants you. He loves you. He adores you. He enjoys you. He doesn't get you out of the family. He adopts you in. He is your father. He is your father. Let's just wait in that moment for a minute. He's your father. Let that transform your thinking of yourself for a moment. Those thoughts you have of yourself which condemn you, I don't deserve it, I don't do this, I don't do that. I am your father. I love you. I welcome you back in. My arms are wide open towards you. Come on in. Come on in. As you offer yourselves up to God, he will come in and he will celebrate you and enjoy you and cherish you, and you will know the goodness of God in that place. God is a good, good father. Amen. This is the biggest revelation of Christianity. And if you've not got to that point, I beg you this week, Meditate on the fatherhood of God. Meditate on the fact that he calls you his heir. He calls you his son and his daughter. He invites you in willingly and wantingly. He runs towards you and enjoys you. He cherishes you. No matter what mistakes you've made, he calls you home. Come and be at home with a father. You are no longer slaves. It's not about performance. When I was preparing, I really felt that point, actually. It's not about performance and performing well. And I think this is for those people who have had a revelation of the Father and do know, oh yeah, God is Father. Well, maybe you need it again. Maybe you need it in different areas of your life. The different areas that we're going to be covering over the next few weeks. God is Father in those areas. God is Father of your provision. God is Father of your physical health. He's Father of you. God, make me. Are you going to come to God with, God, make me? And the final one. It's on a different sheet. It's to lift up. Let's celebrate. Let's party. Let's have an enjoyment. God is a God of enjoyment, a God of joy. All joy comes from him. Amen. Let's keep ourselves in this place of enjoyment. Stanley started with the psalm I was going to read at this point. And I'm going to read it again. Thank you, Stanley. So Psalm 100 says this, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. He is steadfast. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Do you know there's research out there that says that if you sing in communal settings, that you'll be happier?
Come on.
I'm doing a training course at work, and I might try and get them to all sing together. To bring some joy. I don't think I'd have many staff left. But there is research that actually as we sing, so let me ask you, were you singing? You know, as we communally gathered together, were you singing? Were you making a joyful noise to the Lord? It doesn't say a good noise. It doesn't say an in-tune noise. You can sing like I sing. I'm sure God would love it. Make a joyful noise, a celebration, thanksgiving. And actually, if you're coming to God and actually you're in a difficult place and you're not thinking, oh, I've got anything to thank God about, come with the truth that he's made you his child. Come, just thank him for that simpleness. Just enter the place of praise. As you start to pray, just start thanking him. Thank you, Father, that you have called me your child. Thank you, Father, that you have adopted me. Thank you, Father, that you enjoy me and you cherish me. Thank you, Father, that you forgive me and you love me. Thank you, Father, for the cross, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you sent your son to die for me because you love me so much. Thank you. Thank you. And as you start thanking God, an overwhelming sense, you'll start to thank God for the smaller things in your life as well. Thank God that I'm breathing. I'm still breathing. Thank you, Jesus. That's a gift. Just enter his gates with thanksgiving and praise. Even if you're not in a great place, start thanking. Start saying, worthy are you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lift your name on high. Hosanna in the highest. And then it says that his Holy Spirit comes in those moments. And his Holy Spirit meets us in those places of thanksgiving and praise and transforms our thinking, transforms our feelings, and transforms our actions. So just as I draw to a close, I'd like to get you all standing. I really believe God is going to use the next 7 weeks to transform us individually and to transform us as a church and to raise the expectation of his power coming. But let's just start now. Let's just start thanking him. Let's just start individually in our chairs, just thanking him now. Just thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you that you're a good God. Each and every one, let me ask you to raise your voice now. Just say thank you for the small things. Thank you, Father, for my family, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for the life I live. Thank you for the air in my lungs, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the things all around me. Thank you for your creation. Thank you for the beauty, Lord Jesus. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the people standing next to me, Lord God, the family that I have in this place. Thank you, Father, that you're here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just keep thanking him. Keep thanking him. Thank you, Father, that you bring joy. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you give your spirit to us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your goodness, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.